These opening words were written by Arnie Mason, a member of the Kingston, Ontario Unitarian Fellowship. This community is a fellowship of freedom and family, a congregation of caring and compassion, a sanctuary of sanity and serenity, a temple of tranquility, a church of challenge, change, and the cherishing of life, a religion of reflection and renewal, an institution of integrity and inspiration, my haven of hope, our labor of love.
Each of the stars in the heavens is unique, an individual, yet together they form the night sky. Each of us here is unique, an individual, yet together we form a congregation. Each of our congregations is unique, individual, yet together we are the Canadian Unitarian Council. For stars in the sky, for people in the pews, for all the congregations of the CUC, in gratitude, we lit this chalice.
Liz, were you around when the Beatles first burst on the scene?
Yes, I was. Grade 8, Hillcrest Junior High in Edmonton. Paul was my favorite.
Do you remember their song, I Am the Walrus?
I do. I call it the pronoun song.
Good. Let's give it a try for their fans.
I am he and you are he and you are me and we are all together.
I think the applause meter is broken. Let's do an encore later on.
Okay.
So, why are we having a service about the CUC, a.k.a. the Canadian Unitarian Council?
Well, basically, it's because we were asked to. Honesty. February is CUC month, and the CUC board asked all UU churches and fellowships to take one Sunday this month and focus on the wider Canadian Unitarian Universalist community. And they're calling it Sharing Our Faith Sunday.
Seems like a good idea, don't you think?
I do.
So let's throw out some statistics as to why the CUC is important to us.
Oh boy, I love statistics.
Canada's population is 33 million. Of those, there are 13 million Catholics.
9 million Protestants.
5 million who claim no religion.
580,000 Muslims.
330,000 Jews.
300,000 Buddhists.
300,000 Hindus.
280,000 Sikhs.
And then there is us. The UUs come in at a measly 5,000 across Canada, with 300 or so in Victoria.
We seem to be slightly outnumbered. If there's strength in numbers, we could sure use a few.
Any ideas?
Well, I do have one. You might find it a bit radical, though.
Try me.
I think we should find a partner and work toward a merger.
Funny you should think that. There is another religion with numbers similar to ours who might welcome a merger.
And which one would that be?
Scientology.
I don't know, Don. Some of us might have a problem with that group's theology. I have another suggestion. It's a larger group, and I think the theology might be a better fit.
And the winner is?
The Beatles Fan Club.
Fantastic. Let's get it on the agenda at the CUC AGM in Calgary. Just imagine.
Imagine.
A million new members.
There. Join. join us.
See, it's you and me, and they are we, and we must stick together. Think us and us, not them and us. Get on the bus, we need to ride together.
Coo-coo,
and all.
The words for our meditation were written by the Reverend Mark Morrison Reed, who was president of the CUC about 8 years ago. At the time I was serving on the CUC board, I already knew Mark because he was for 15 years the minister or co-minister in Toronto First. Mark loves to write, and I like very much these words of his. The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind us, each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amidst the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too small to see all that must be done, and our strength too limited to do all that must be seen. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed.
They're all leaving. Good morning, I'm Christina Stevens. I am currently on the CUC board. As Liz and Don told us, February is CUC month. When we think of the CUC, many of us think of the people who work at the CUC office in Toronto, or the people around the country who work with them. Vida Eng, Antonia Wan, Linda Thompson, and Ariel Hunt Bronwyn are some of these people that you may know. But these people are more properly called the staff of the CUC. They are the people who work for the CUC. The CUC itself, better known by its full name, the Canadian Unitarian Council, is in a very real way not a thing in and of itself, but instead a coming together of each and every one of the free and independent Unitarian Universalist congregations across Canada. In its legal basis, the CUC is a not-for-profit organization whose members are these congregations. So the congregation is a member of the CUC, and we are individually members of each congregation. So we are the CUC. Today is Sharing Our Faith Sunday because we have chosen to celebrate it this month in company with congregations from Comox and Nanaimo to Toronto and Halifax, not because we were told to do so. So today is Sharing Our Faith Sunday because we've said it is, and because if you want to know the truth, there ought to be at least one day out of all the days in the year that we set aside, like Mother's Day and Father's Day, to remember something that we ought to be aware of the other days as well. The CUC literally would not exist without its member congregations, but we as individuals would also be infinitely less without it. We all, each of us, and this congregation, need the CUC because by coming together in association with other Unitarian Universalists, we are capable of things that would be unthinkable if we were on our own. You have probably all heard lists of the ways we here at First Church Victoria benefit by being a part of the CUC. Things such as lifespan faith development curricula for both children and adults. Worship resources with a Canadian perspective, in addition to those provided by the American Unitarian Universalist Association. Ministerial settlement services, which helped us develop our working relationship with our wonderful ministers, and which are the avenue for very part-time ministerial connections to be made with tiny little fellowships, one-quarter time and so on. National and regional gatherings, providing opportunities for individual growth and for discussions with UUs from other parts of the country. The Lay Chaplains Program, reaching out to help others with rites of passage and exposing them to Unitarian Universalism in the process. And providing Unitarian public witness on issues of national importance. For example, a letter to Stephen Harper raising concerns based on UU principles about the Enbridge pipeline proposal. As this partial list indicates, it should be obvious that together we are more than any of us alone. There is no way this congregation could do all this stuff by itself. But the purpose of our Sharing Our Faith Sunday is not to convince anyone of the importance of our association. The purpose is to encourage us to deepen and grow our association so that our movement might prosper. And of the need for that, too, there should be no doubt. Just take a look at the world we live in. Read the headlines. Listen to the news. There are social justice issues involving First Nations to be addressed, a national environment under threat, and people everywhere seeking for meaning in the world, as well as for joyful and creative songs to be sung. Is there any doubt that a faith such as ours, that religious communities such as this one, have a place in our world today? That the world needs what we have. It's easy to say that we need to deepen and grow our association in order that our movement might flourish, and in order to meet the needs of the world. It is a little more difficult to actually do it. Not because it's a terribly hard thing to do. It's difficult because here in this vast country with just 50 congregations, we don't see each other very often. And few of us have neighboring congregations close enough that we actually share resources and time with one another. We're fortunate here in that we do, and for example, some of us are going over to Salt Spring next Sunday to help present a service. The CUC provides tools to help us bridge these vast distances, such as email lists for presidents, for treasurers, for lay chaplains, and for religious education directors, where questions can be posted and solutions which have worked for other churches discussed. And I certainly used that when I was the church treasurer. This is also a place where the CUC annual conference and meeting and the regional gatherings can help, for example, by providing meeting times for large, for medium-sized, and for small congregations. There's nothing like staying up late, sipping your beverage of choice. For me, this would be wine. And chatting about mutual concerns with UUs for other places. You say you persuaded your choir to sing that beautiful song even though it mentioned Jesus? How did you do that? It feels good to see how common our issues are and to hear about other folks' creative ideas to address them. It's also difficult to support our association because we are also focused on our own congregations. One of the great gifts of our religious tradition is the autonomy of each of our congregations. Each is a separate, incorporated society, unlike some other religions where the local church is owned by a central body somewhere else. Anglicans spring to mind with their recent talk of closing some churches. It's understandable for us to be caught up in our own church. There's enough to do at home. It's a lot to expect that we find the time to reach out to other UUs. Yet, as member congregations of the CUC, we have undertaken to participate with and support one another. And that calls us to be both individual congregations and part of this larger community. There are times when a congregation, large or small, can run into difficulties and stormy weather, which challenge it to continue to fulfill its purposes. Our support for the CUC ensures that resources are available to respond to requests for help in these situations by consulting with congregational leaders. CUC representatives can bring experience and understanding to help weather the storm, as well as ideas to help congregations find their way back to constructive harmony. So our congregational autonomy is a strength which we can use to create a strong association. It's maybe most difficult for us all to support the CUC because our numbers are few. As Liz and Don told us, in perhaps too great detail, there are only about 5,000 of us in Canada and only about 50 congregations. Something they did not mention is where our church, the First Unitarian Church of Victoria, fits into the national picture. We are the fourth largest congregation in Canada, fourth, after Ottawa, Vancouver, and Toronto congregations. The next three, which are clustered together in size, are Edmonton, North Vancouver, and Hamilton. So we are among the lead Canadian Unitarian churches. Over half of our church's total have less than 100 members. One-third are less than 50. Can you imagine how hard it must be to put on quality programs such as we have here, with minimal staff and very few volunteers to draw from? To make our denomination strong, we in the larger churches have an obligation to share our faith. We're leaders. Clearly, we need to find ways to grow, yet none of us can deepen and grow our association alone. We need each other in each of our unique ways and in each of our locations. But it was once estimated that on average, a Unitarian Universalist member invites someone to her or his congregation once every 75 years. Obviously, that has got to change, and it is changing. The staff who work for the CUC have been doing work on this, and many of our congregations have been doing the same on a local level. Nancy Dobbs springs to mind. How many people have you invited? The idea is to get the word out without proselytizing that there is something going on here that's worth checking out. But it really doesn't matter all that much if we grow the size of our congregations and our movement and deepen the spiritual maturity of our congregations, if at the end of the day we still look, sound, and act pretty much like we do right now. If the only people we attract are carbon copies of the people who are already here, well, we're already here. But it's true, there are other folk out there like us who need what we have. However, it's also true that there are other folk who in very real ways are not like us, and they need it too. And what's more, they have things that we need, like a sense of rhythm. Move when you sing, people! Sorry, that was spontaneous. Their very difference is needed because too much sameness is stultifying. CUC Board President Gary Groot spoke of this in a recent article in the Canadian Unitarian, and all these back issues are online, should you be interested. Diversity is a strength that we need, and more diversity will mean change. Now, no one likes change. We may say we do, but deep down, most of us really only like change when it's other people who are doing the changing. And I'm the same. Each of our tried and true ways of doing things must be better than those proposed by some new upstart, after all. Yet, we Unitarian Universalists are spiritually mature enough to know that whether we like it or not, we do need change. That's why we believe that even our beliefs, even our most cherished beliefs, should be held lightly, open to revision, because we know the importance of evolution in every facet of life. Growth, movement, change, evolution, transformation. In the long run, the only alternative is extinction, death. The theme for this year's CUC annual conference in Calgary is diversity, creating a shared understanding. In many ways, Unitarian Universalism is already a pretty diverse religious tradition. We certainly are theologically, and we are around issues of sexuality and sexual identity. Our understanding about issues of race is pretty good, even though the actual experience in the majority of our congregations is still pretty white. If we're honest with ourselves, we have miles to go on issues of social class. So for all the diversity we have to celebrate, there still is work to do. Yet as a movement, we recognize that this is important work to do. It's important for the world because we live on too small a planet for us not to find ways to turn these divisions and distinctions from barriers and barricades into beautifying parts of the landscape, from reasons for us to be suspicious of one another into reasons for us to want to know to get to know one another, from causes of hostility into causes of celebration of our differences. It's important for us as individuals, too, because the more we expand our contact with people who are different from ourselves, the wider and deeper we can grow and the richer our lives can be. It's not always easy. Heck, it's hardly ever easy. But we do know it's right. I'd like to give a personal example from a few years ago. I was walking down a street in San Francisco, where my family lives, early one evening, and walking toward me was a young black man with, he was big, with a sort of a glum-looking face. And I was feeling a little uneasy. I wasn't sure of the neighborhood, and a little fearful, actually. And I'm not sure what inspired me to do it. Of course, I was quite a bit older than this young man, so maybe I thought, oh, I should take the lead. When we came close to one another, I just looked him in the face and smiled. He smiled back, and his face, for me, was so transformed, I've never forgotten it. He suddenly looked like a nice young man that I might want to chat with and find out what he was interested in. It was a complete transformation in my mind. You've probably had similar experiences. Here at First Church Victoria, we've chosen to go through the certification process to become both a welcoming congregation, and in January 2009, we voted in favor of celebrating diversity in our congregation, and that was a whole program. During the process we went through for this 2009 vote that we had, which included workshops, Sunday services, and forums addressing aspects of diversity, our young people were treated to a curriculum in the RE, which explored various ways of being diverse. These included, among other topics, exploring diversity in lifestyles. For example, have versus have not lifestyles. How does this make one different? How are we still the same? Differences in ages. How might people of different ages have different perspectives? Differences in bodies. I can see, hear, and walk. How might a person who can't do one of these things be different and the same as me? Differences in families. Do they consist of a mother, a father, and 2.3 children? Or a mother and one child, two fathers, a single person living on his or her own? Differences in abilities. What might each of us have to offer? Am I good at running fast? Not. Are you able to draw a perfect circle? Differences in beliefs. How might our beliefs be different or similar to others? I just read that list because I thought it deepened the concept of diversity. Come to the CUC annual conference and meeting in Calgary, which is over the May long weekend, to delve more deeply into how embracing diversity can enrich us as individuals and as a congregation. You might even feel inspired to join our church's diversity committee or to march with others carrying our wonderful rainbow banner in the Gay Pride Parade. I have to mention one other instance of diversity in our community. As Phil Hallman, our music director, said the other night at choir practice, where else would a chorister be able to sing classical, First Nations, folk, and musical theater pieces all in one rehearsal? Our congregation is a voluntary association of individuals who have come together to create the First Unitarian Church of Victoria. Similarly, our congregation and 50 others have voluntarily joined together to create an association known as the Canadian Unitarian Council. It is us. We are they. And the world needs the CUC just as our community needs us. Today we have the opportunity to help strengthen our movement for generations to come by deepening our efforts to grow in and through diversity so that we don't just talk the talk, but actually walk the walk. May it be so. Namaste.
The closing words today were written by Reverend Charles Edis, the Minister Emeritus of the Unitarian Church of Montreal. We are strengthened in coming together, joining with others, blending our efforts with those of the Unitarian Universalist congregations across Canada. Together, we are more than we could ever be alone. One congregation, one UU, is a miracle, a marvel. As an association, we can help to create a wonderland, a world blanketed with love and justice, understanding and hope. May the world that is one in its life, a rich blue top spinning in the endless night of space, a world that is one in its interdependence and its fragility, be one in our hearts and minds and deeds also.